Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
He leaves an extraordinary record of accomplishment. And unlike Robert Moses, he did it by working with communities, not bulldozing them.
Look, I'll take a little bit of criticism for maybe not being as good a listener as I could have been at the very beginning, but I think we've really learned.
Two views of Dan Doctoroff, one from Mayor Bloomberg and one from Doctoroff himself. Good morning, David Cruz in for Brian Lehr on WNYC. As you may have heard by now, Dan Doctoroff, the city's deputy mayor for economic development and rebuilding, will be stepping down by the end of the year. From the failed effort to build a West Side Stadium for the Jets to extending the 7 Line and rezoning downtown Brooklyn, Doctoroff's fingerprints are on some of the city's most ambitious redevelopment projects. This morning, we'll try to get some perspective on what his legacy will be. We'll get two views on Doctoroff. Our first comes from Majora Carter. She is the executive director of Sustainable South Bronx. And later on, we'll be joined by NYU professor of city policy and planning, Mitchell Moss. But first, Majora, good morning. Welcome to the program. Majora, are you with me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning.
Okay.
So what was your reaction to yesterday's resignation?
I thought this could be a great day for the future of the city of New York to recognize just how important it is that, you know, small-scale planning, you know, is toward the creation, you know, of a more comprehensive plan that actually takes into account what New York City really wants and needs. I looked at it as a great opportunity.
So what do you think about the timing?
The timing in terms of...
Yeah, he says the time was just right, but do you think it's as simple as that?
Honestly, it doesn't really matter to me. Yeah. I just think that there's like a more... I don't know how many, just not that long left in the Bloomberg administration. And I think if there was just enough time to show that listening to people and recognizing that these really the big doesn't always mean better when it comes to developing the city, and that there's a great opportunity here to think about like what can happen that can support all kinds of people in the city of New York, because many of Dan Doctoroff's plans are like, if it's not big, it's not good. And so the idea that also included jails and big box malls, and I think right now we understand that neither jails nor retail make a living wage. And in communities where the gap between rich and poor is actually getting bigger in New York City, that's what's happening. It's really important that we're thinking about unemployment rates and how we're going to bring more people into the fold of really seeing New York City as a place of opportunity.
Let's talk a little bit about what some of the projects that Doctoroff spearheaded in the Bronx. How closely did you work with him, and what was that like?
We were asked to leave all the major projects because we opposed the development of the Yankee Stadium in the form that it took because of all of the huge high subsidies that the world's richest sports team was getting. We also took some various serious issues, you know, with the Gateway Mall development project as well, in particular because the demolishing of the jail on the site led to, which is an empty jail, you know, less than 400 beds or around there, and that blossomed under Dan's watch into a 2,000 bed proposed jail for the East River in the Hunts Point section of the South Bronx.
Let's take some listener calls on this. Let's hear from some of you. Tell us what you think of Doctoroff's work and his impact on the city. Did you have any dealings with him? Is it fair or accurate to compare him to Robert Moses, good or bad? Give us a call at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-9692. Majora, I want to play this clip from Mayor Bloomberg's press conference yesterday where he announced the resignation of Dan Doctoroff. Tell me if you agree with what the mayor says here.
He leaves an extraordinary record of accomplishment. And unlike Robert Moses, he did it by working with communities, not bulldozing them.
Well, first, Majora, is it fair even to discuss Doctoroff and Moses in the same sentence? And secondly, is the mayor's characterization of how he dealt with the public accurate in your view?
Absolutely not. It was either... the way Dan decided he wanted it to happen, and you know, hopefully everyone agreed with him. But if they didn't, it really didn't matter. And that's certainly the experience that we had, you know, when we proposed the development of the Eco-Industrial Park, which is a collection of businesses that use recycled materials at the Oak Point site, and then decided, obviously, to oppose the 2,000-bed jail that the city wanted to build there. And so for us, it was just like, we need to talk about this, and we haven't really.
Were you able to have any discussions?
All of our Freedom of Information requests have been denied. We've not really had much conversation about it, even though we've certainly tried.
So is it fair, do you think, to discuss Dr. Off's legacy in the same breath as someone might discuss Robert Moses' legacy?
Well, I've heard Dan say that he's a little bit of Moses and a little bit of Jane Jacobs, and that's, you know, you can't really compare the two with a person who's really interested in small-scale local development, the way cities organically develop, and someone who did bulldoze people. It's kind of like being, you know, a little pregnant. Either you are or you're not. And so I would have to say that, you know, he might have been Moses light, but the real underpinnings were still there, that it's either my way or no way at all.
That's very Moses-like, no? At least that?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Moses light. I wouldn't actually even call him Moses, but I wouldn't even, not even I would say that about him. But it was more reminiscent of Moses than it would be of, say, Jane Jacobs.
Yeah. David Cruz in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're talking with Majora Carter, who is the executive director of Sustainable South Bronx. We're talking about the Dr. Off legacy and taking your calls at 212-433-9692 or 212-433-WNYC. Let's have Ed from Riverdale join us. Ed, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call. I would say Dr. Off's legacy is like Nero in that he was fiddling with large, gigantic projects like the West Side Stadium and Atlantic Yards while he was fiddling with those things while the small businesses, which are the lifeblood of our city, are falling apart and burning because as pointed out earlier, you know, even local businesses are being forced out because banks are willing to pay higher rent. That was not on Dr. Off's radar. Nothing about the those kind of issues were on Dr. Off's radar. He wanted big, large things to move in, and he also sort of his projects are also against the very philosophy that Mayor Bloomberg later began espousing, like having green development and sustainable planning. Like, look at Yankee Stadium. It's a smaller stadium, less people. But guess what? There's more parking spaces. Higher proportion of people are going to go to Yankee Stadium by car. The Metro North station they put in there was an afterthought. It was not in the plan until the community demanded it, kicking and screaming. And meanwhile, next to Yankee Stadium, a few blocks away, is a new mall they're building, another one of Dr. Ross's plans, a sweetheart deal for the developers involved. And guess what? There's going to be, you know, hundreds of more parking spaces there. So we're going to have a South Bronx that's flooded with traffic, thanks to Dr. Off.
All right, Ed, thanks for your call. Majora, I assume that you're agreeing with most of that.
Oh, all of it. In particular, the pieces around small business development. I mean, Dan Doctorow has been absolutely disdainful of manufacturing in particular, you know, in this city. And we're losing jobs at an alarmingly high rate. And again, in many of our poorer communities, they're getting poorer because of our unemployment rate. If we're not doing things to bring back in the idea of a manufacturing base and supporting that through small-scale, you know, support and development of these things, then what are we doing with the larger majority of the people in this city?
So 5 years, 10 years from now, how are we going to remember Dan Doctorow?
I hope that it was his leaving was the opening of the door to the kind of development that New York City needs, that recognizes the small little things that make up New York, the small businesses, the small acts of beauty, you know, in our communities. That's what makes New York City great. And I hope that the Bloomberg administration understands that now is the time to recognize that and move forward in a really powerful way.
All right. Majora Carter is the executive director of Sustainable South Bronx. Majora, thanks very much for taking some time with us this morning.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
David Cruz in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. When we come back, we'll have another view on the Dr. Off legacy.
like, I'll take a little bit of criticism for maybe not being as good a listener as I could have been at the very beginning, but I think we've really learned.
Dan Doctoroff, yesterday, actually this morning, talking about what he might have done a little bit differently. David Cruz in for Brian Lehr on WNYC, joining us now for one view, or another view, of the soon-to-be departing deputy mayor is Professor Mitchell Moss. He's with NYU's Wagner School of Public Service. Professor, welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be here this morning.
Has it been 12 years?
I think it's 12 years since I did this.
Well, every 12 years we'll have you back.
Right, thanks.
We'll see you back in 19.
Yeah. And then I want to do 24 years.
So what do you think we're going to remember Doctoroff for?
Well, Dan Doctoroff came in when the city was at its nadir after 9/11. There had been general gloom that the city would ever recover. People would want to work here or visit here, and certainly questions about living downtown. And under Dan Doctoroff and Mike Bloomberg, we saw a new impetus to rebuild downtown, to reinvent it. But most of all, they took a future-oriented approach to economic development. And we have to remember, in New York, other economic development deputy mayors have been reactive. They kind of wait for the private sector to come in and ask for gifts. Dan said, this is what we should be doing. So he was a proactive guy. And when you're dealing with economic development in New York, if you just, as he said earlier today, if you just wait for things, it's too late. And so we have to give him credit for understanding the need to finally rezone the waterfront on the East River in Brooklyn, as well as the west side of Manhattan. And I think that that rezoning is going to create opportunities over the next 30, 40 years. I think it's important to also note that he did something very important. He stopped foolish, wasteful projects like the New York Stock Exchange. Under the previous administration, they borrowed money. They were going to build a new stock exchange. Today, the stock exchange is trading on smaller space. They have actually greater volume. That was a project which was not necessary. And I think we have to give the deputy mayor and the mayor credit for not allowing an idiotic, wasteful temple to the stock exchange to be built, which saved the taxpayers a lot of money.
As you heard in that clip that we just played, he admitted at least to having not been a very good listener in the beginning. Do you think that he recovered from that?
Well, I think listening is an acquired skill. So, you know, over 6 years, a smart guy, he learns how to listen. I think that, you know, we see up in Albany, we have a governor who doesn't know how to listen, and he's, you know, facing a bigger problem because he's the governor. I think the most important part about Dan is that he attracted a terrific team of people under him. He revitalized all the agencies dealing with city planning, economic development, and housing. And so his legacy is the great talent base that's still now in city government, which I think he brought and attracted to the city of New York in the past 6 years.
The position itself, the deputy mayor for economic development, is a relatively new invention, no?
Well, we've had a lot of people who were retired business executives, like Barry Sullivan came in at the end of the Dinkins administration.
Sort of doing that job.
And we took this as a place for guys who were too old for work but too young to retire to come. And, you know, they really couldn't be put out to pasture, so they gave him this job. Dan is different. He came in, he's now really 49 years old. He came in very young, energetic, had built a career, and I think he redefined the job. It's not really being an instrument of real estate, but an instrument of city government. And I think that's a big change in defining which will last forever.
I think Majara and some other critics would suggest that he, Doctoroff, was very much pro-developer.
Well, I think they're naive. Look, he took the Department of Small Businesses, which didn't exist before, created it, attracted Rob Walsh, who had been in North Carolina, and they created 14 bids. The bids exist to help small businesses. Prior to that, we were trying to undermine the bids. And so there's a lot of evidence that we created new retail corridors. 125th Street is being revitalized. There's Myrtle Avenue in Brooklyn. If you go across the city, retail corridors have been created in places that didn't exist before, that were dangerous before.
David Cruz in for Brian Lehr on WNYC. We're taking your calls on this at 212-433-9692. Our guest is Mitchell Moss. He's with the NYU Wagner School of Public Service. And we'd like to hear what you think about Doctoroff's legacy. The number again is 212-433-WNYC. Also, the scale of development and what impact rezoning had on that is very much part of the Doctoroff legacy.
Well, you know, when Ed Koch took office in 1978, he said, I'm going to redevelop the waterfront. It did all those years before we really created the conditions to redevelop the waterfront. Up until this time, we've had projects like Battery Park City done by the state, but the city finally took underused land, which had been lying fallow, particularly the Williamsburg-Greenpoint area, and made it attractive. And under the deal he negotiated with Vito Lopez, there is going to be affordable housing on site with market housing, which is, I think, important to recognize here. I also want to make another point, which is that we don't really understand that the World Trade Center site, when it was developed initially, had no city input. John Lindsay was treated like a kid, a handsome kid, but he was completely bypassed by Nelson Rockefeller and Bill Ronan. And most of all, by Austin Tobin, of the executive director of the Port Authority. They just simply ignored the city. Under Dan Doctoroff, with Amanda Burden next to him and Mike Bloomberg pushing, they forced the Port Authority, against its will, to allow the streets to be opened and to allow retail to be at street level. The Port Authority wanted to rebuild retail all underground. Now we're going to have it at street level. I don't think people realize that the New York City had had a poisonous relationship with the Port Authority until Bloomberg and Doctoroff came in. And, for example, the Port Authority was paying rent as low as $3 million to the city for its airports. Doctoroff renegotiated the leases. Do you remember Rudy wanted to take the Port Authority airports away, give them back to the city,
right,
and then privatize them? We now get over $50 million a year from the Port Authority for those airports. So there were some things that he did that had been undone for a decade or more. The original lease under Koch had been $3 million to $48 million. Now we're getting well over $50 million a year.
All right, let's get a couple of phone calls in here. Let's go to Dave, who's in Park Slope. Dave, welcome to the program.
Yeah, welcome. As far as economic development downtown, 5 years later, great job on Ground Zero. But let me just say, a city is not a corporation. It's a place where people live.
Dave, I'm going to have to go somewhere else. Your line is not really good. Try and give us a call back. The number here is 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-9692. Let's try Natalie, who's in Cobble Hill. Natalie, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I think it's really sophistry to say that Doctoroff's only mistake was not working with the community. His biggest mistake was not doing adequate research and planning beforehand and completely ignoring or not taking into consideration the effects of pollution, of congestion.
Specifically Natalie?
What?
Specifically where?
Well, I'm talking about Atlantic York, it affected the other, it is relevant to the other developments also. The tax breaks that, say, Ratner was given are not even what he wanted. They were even more than he wanted, and they will be paid for by the citizens of New York State. The purchase price was too low. There were higher bids, and all of this was rushed through without the kind of serious research. Everybody believes in development, but to go against not only the community's wishes, but not to do serious research is just unacceptable.
Natalie, I'm sure you know that the Empire State Development Corporation is the agency which controlled the Vanderbilt Yards, which are now being called the Atlantic Yards. They're the agency which is able to bypass the normal ULURP and other city processes. And the overwhelming relationship is not with the city and Ratner, but between the state and Ratner, which is why the courts are now ruling whether the state can use eminent domain. I think it's important to note that if you look at where the city has done things, it's rezoning downtown Brooklyn, where we've created a residential corridor. We've gotten rid of those adult entertainment shops that left 42nd Street and moved over to Atlantic and Tillery. I think that the Yards is certainly an issue, but it's an issue for the state and their failure to deal with the people of Brooklyn.
Definitely, but certainly with the mayor's approval and the deputy mayor's approval, they have been enthusiastic backers of the Ratner plan. I quite realize that the Empire State Development Corporation did not do its job, but they had tremendous support from the mayor and the deputy mayor.
And you're saying the mayor and the deputy mayor dropped the ball there a little bit?
A little bit, a lot.
They don't drop the ball anywhere as much as the Nets guards who can't even score.
Well, see, that's just unnecessary.
Well, I'm not a basketball fan.
All right.
So I'm not enthusiastic about that for that point of view. But, no, the traffic has not even begun to be investigated that will be hitting all of the side streets, the main streets, and the traffic in the morning on subways, which are already congested. We're completely ignored in this rush to give Ratner that contract.
All right, Natalie, thanks very much for your call.
I think it's important to look at Brooklyn as a total. And Brooklyn has flourished under Mayor Bloomberg and Dan Dockery. Look at the rezoning of 4th Avenue and Park Slope. We took a bunch of gas stations and mechanic shops. There's now housing. There's a Holiday Inn called the Holiday Inn Gowanus Canal. You'd never imagine that, right, really, in Park Slope. I think it's important to look at the ways in which the entire Bedford Avenue corridor has expanded so that Williamsburg is now moving into Bushwick. The city itself has seen a renaissance of Brooklyn during the past 10 years. And part of it, I think, is important to recognize that, you know, Marty Markowitz supported the mayor in 2005. There's been a new investment in Brooklyn. East New York is getting housing. So I think if you look at Brooklyn as a whole, that's the one borough that's flourished in new ways that no one ever imagined. Look at the amount of money they're pouring into BAM's cultural center. Joe Chan has been given control over $100 million. This is something that no mayor was ever able to figure out how to do, but they're making Brooklyn come alive in that area.
David Cruz in for Brian Lehr on WNYC. We're talking about the legacy of Dan Dockery, the city's deputy mayor who announced his resignation yesterday. With us is Professor Mitchell Moss. He's with NYU's Wagner School of Public Service. You may have heard our interview with Dan Dockery on Morning Edition earlier today. If you missed it, you can hear it on our website. We've linked it to our show page, WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehr Show link there. Mitchell, is there a project that typifies the Dockery doctrine?
I think he said he thought Hudson Yards. I think the East River from Williamsburg to Greenpoint, that whole area of rezoning represents really a future growth center. It's going to move into Long Island City all the way up, I think, into Queens. I think the East River facing Manhattan, Brooklyn and Queenside, from Red Hook to Astoria, has been in need of revitalization. And the Olympic plan gave the impetus for this. But overwhelmingly, we're going to see, I think, growth centered in close-in areas. Under John Lindsay and Nelson Rockefeller, the city built Starrett City and they built Co-op City 30 miles from the core. Under Bloomberg and Dockery, they created the conditions for housing to be built close to the core near mass transit. I think we're going to see the benefits of that over the next 20 to 30 years. That's his legacy. It's allowing growth to occur in places which were basically ignored for over 25 years.
So what happens after Dockery? Is this an opportunity for the city to change directions in any way?
Well, you know, I think that we have to realize that Dan Dockery was a protean personality. You know, he's sui generis. They broke the mold after him. We're not going to get someone, and I think we shouldn't look for a junior version of Dan Dockery. You have to look for something different. Right now, you're entering the administration. They have to implement the things that are on the docks. The things
right, and
that
there's there. Only 2 years left, so
2 years is a long time in government. Yeah. It's very hard to do things in the last year, but 2 years, that's enough time to make things happen, and they're going to have to reconceptualize some of the plans they have, I think, for Coney Island so they can make something happen there if they can't get state approval. I think they're going to have to figure out a way to recognize that the High Line is one of the great Bloomberg Doctor of Legacies. Up until that time, it had been Gifford Miller's roommate's idea. The Giuliani administration was going to tear down the High Line. Mike Bloomberg, Dan Dockery invest in it. That's going to be a kind of a boutique park for the next generation. And so it's making sure that things like the High Bridge, fixing the facilities that we now have as part of Plan NYC, making those things get developed and in place, that's the legacy.
All right. Professor Mitchell Moss is with NYU's Wagner School of Public Service. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
David Cruz in for Brian Lehr on WNYC. When we come back, email in the skies.